If you were here for Sunday school, you were able to watch, it's called a movie, it's really not a movie as much maybe as a documentary, but called 180 Degrees. And this is a video that's done by a man by the name of Ray Comfort. If you were not here for Sunday school, that is something that you can find very easily online. And if you'd like to watch it again, you'd be able to do that. But we're going to preach along the same lines this morning. I already knew what I was going to preach before I even found that video, but I just thought it was so powerful and would be good for us today. For the last about 4 weeks or so, we've been preaching through some things that would concern politics. And you could literally stay at your house all day long and probably not even turn a TV on and realize that we are in a political season. And we as Christians need to understand and know how to engage in this time. And truly, as I said earlier, how to be what Jesus called us to be, the light of the world. And so we're going to kind of talk about another issue this morning. And I said to, I was talking to my dad a little bit this past week, and my dad's a preacher as well, pastored for about 3 years or so in a town called Seguin, which is about 50 miles outside of San Antonio, Texas. And I told my dad, I told him what I was preaching about, I told him the passage, and he said, well, that's a little different passage and a little different way to come at it. And I said, yeah, but this is exactly what the Lord gave me. And so you probably never heard it from this passage before, but we will approach it from here today. Proverbs chapter 3, notice verse number 27, and we'll read down through verse number 29. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Now notice those three phrases: withhold not, say not, devise not. And I want to bring a message this morning that we'll entitle A Proverb for the Powerless. A proverb for the powerless. Let's pray together once again. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be together today. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we can be founded upon it, and we know that it is a sure and a strong foundation. I pray that we would desire from our heart to stand on that sure, strong foundation no matter what happens in our society and in our world. May you give us the boldness and the confidence to proclaim truth. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today who does not have a personal relationship with you, that they'd get it settled today. Help them to realize, as we'll mention here in just a little while, that we are not promised another day. And so help them to get it settled. Father, draw them, convict them. Help them to realize your great love for them before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name, amen. The Hebrew word, you realize that we have an English translation of the original scriptures this morning, and the Old Testament primarily was written originally in the Hebrew language. The Hebrew word for proverb is the word mashal, meaning superiority in mental action. Superiority in mental action. Now we're going to come back to this word at the conclusion of this message. There's something really phenomenal that I was able to uncover as I studied this past week. But for now, let's just realize that the man that God proclaimed to be the wisest man to ever live, God said that, wrote a book as he was directed by God concerning how to raise our level of thinking above that which is common. Now we might ask, well, what's so wrong with common thinking? I mean, don't we speak in a positive manner about common sense? Don't we use phrases like commonly accepted or common practice? Isn't a standard operating procedure, SOP, many of you know about that if you work at a job and you have your SOP, a standard operating procedure, isn't it the method that is most commonly accepted? I would say this morning, herein lies the problem. What seems common may be deadly. Anybody ever heard of something called bloodletting? Bloodletting. It was a common standard medical procedure based on the thinking of brilliant medical minds. And it carried on for at least, get this, 2,000 years. It was practiced by barber surgeons. Now, I'd heard people talk about this before, but apparently in time past, there was a difference between a physician and a surgeon. And somehow or another, barbers, probably not what we think of as barbers, but barbers were the ones that actually did surgery. The reason they have those poles at the barber shops, a lot of them still have it, with the red and the white and all of that. The red is for blood. The white is actually like a Band-Aid or something to put over the bloody wound. It was practiced by barber surgeons and used both prophylactically as well as therapeutically in the treatment of almost every disease. Despite Dr. Pierre Charles Alexander Lewis's demonstrations to the contrary, some physicians resisted Lewis's work because, quote, they were not prepared to discard therapies validated by both tradition and their own experience on account of somebody else's numbers. That's in a book called Evidence-Based Medicine. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 25, they're almost exactly the same in their wording. There is a way which or that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I say all of that to say this. Maybe it's time that we stop trusting what seems right to common man and get to finding out about how God, the superior, we talked about superior thinking, about how God the superior would have us think. We could preach a sermon with this focus, but let us transition now to the chapter at hand. Notice how the first 26 verses have a thy, thine, the emphasis. Now notice, if you will, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Notice now the thy and the thine and the thee that you're going to see over and over and over again. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. We could go all the way through the first 26 verses of this chapter, and we would see these words over and over again. So it's focused on the individual, the first 26 verses. But verse number 27 brings about a shift. It, superior thinking, becomes about others. Herein we find our message, and as we think rightly within ourselves concerning God and His life, we will think rightly about others and their lives. So as I said a moment ago, we focus in on the three not statements. Statement number one this morning is withhold not. Now notice again verse number 27, see what it says. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. We see here something physical. You notice he mentions the hand, and he says, withhold not good. It's interesting to me, but from the very beginning of Scriptures, we see this word good, and it's literally mentioned thousands of times in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 31 says that everything was very good. It's the same exact word that's mentioned in Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good. It has to do with something that is beneficial, or maybe something that is for the welfare. Beneficial or for the welfare. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible talks about that which was good for food. Aren't you glad God gave us some food that is beneficial, that's good for our welfare? Aren't you glad we can bring in some donuts for Sunday school and eat some donuts, have something, well, halfway beneficial anyway, all right? Or good for our welfare, good for food, Genesis 2, 9. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 12, the Bible talks about the gold of that land is good. God's given us some resources, some natural resources all around the world, and thank the Lord they're not good for nothing. They have intrinsic value, what God has provided in His creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 17 talks about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So therefore now we have a distinction, that which is beneficial, that which is for the welfare, and we have evil, that which is not. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18 says, it is not good or beneficial or for his welfare that man should be alone. So God very early on begins to define what it is that is good. Now, if we're not to withhold that which is good from them to whom it is due, then we probably first need to understand or have a knowledge of what is good. And the Lord obviously begins to point that on very early on. Now, I want you to hold your finger in Proverbs chapter 3 and go to James chapter 4 for a moment. James chapter 4. This is another set of scriptures that's so very important to the abortion issue this morning. James chapter 4 and verse number 13, you said, how in the world do you get abortion out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 29? Just stay with me for a little while. James chapter 4, verse number 13 says this, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Think about that for a moment. And then he goes on to say, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we can go back to the original creation. We can begin to understand what God calls good. By the way, everything that God created, God said it was good. Over and over again, it was good. Till he comes to the end of his creation, including mankind, and he said it was good. Very good. It was beneficial. It was to the welfare, listen, for those that he had created. It was good. So we begin to understand the knowledge of what is good and what is not good, that which is evil, that which is not beneficial or not for the welfare. But then we notice something interesting in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 27, because it says this, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. By the way, let me just stop for a second and have you do a little bit of a mental exercise. That which is due is that which is something deserved. That which is deserved. Now, how can we say in the matter of this abortion issue, and this is obviously a huge issue in our nation right now, it's been a big issue the next several days and weeks, it's going to be a major issue. How in the world do we approach this and say to ourselves, well, who actually deserves life? Who deserves it? Well, let me take you through the mental exercise and ask you this question. Who provided the life in the first place? Who made it possible for that life to exist in the first place? And there's only one person responsible for that. You say, no, it's a man and a woman. Friend, I must disagree with you. Life starts somewhere, and it didn't start until God said, let it be. But the Bible goes on to say this, and it's so very important. It says, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. In this first point, what I'm trying to let us know is this. Number one, we have to have a knowledge for good if we're going to have a responsibility toward it. Number two, we have to have a power for good. Now, this withhold not good then automatically, obviously, would apply to that one that is immediately responsible for the life. By the way, let me say this morning. That is not just a mother. I said something earlier in the week, posted this out on social media, concerning the way that we really discriminate against, in part, we discriminate against God in the first place, but we really discriminate against men, if you want to talk about true discrimination, in saying that this is solely a woman's choice. Folks, it took more than one to tango in the first place, that life might be able to go forward. And you can look at the science. There's two parts to that. And so we're really discriminating. You want to talk about being sexist. We're really discriminating against men when we say that it's solely a woman's choice. But we know automatically and obviously it is in the power of that person's hands to be able to do good or conversely to be able to do evil. Now we could argue for a moment, and I like the way the video brought this out, and there are a lot of people who do not have at least an obvious knowledge of what they're doing. Now, I do believe God gives us all a conscience. I believe Scripture bears this out. I believe there's something inside every person that begins to let them know what is wrong and what is right, what is good and what is bad. And we get older and we get more mature, supposedly, and we begin to refuse those things. We dull our conscience. But you could argue a little bit, maybe this person just doesn't know what good is versus evil in this regard. But there's no arguing the power for good. But how do the rest of us come into this? I mean, Pastor Tim, I'm not the doctor this morning. I'm not the woman. I'm not the man. I'm not a part of that family. I'm not personally related to that person. I don't have any power for good, although I have the knowledge for good. Well, the Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And I'm going to help us to see from the Word of God this morning and from law that we do have power in this area. Number one, we read, withhold not. Number two, say not. Now, read this verse with me, verse number 28, Proverbs chapter 3. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Now, connect what this it exactly is. You see there, verse number 27, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And then you get down to verse number 28 at the very end. It says, when thou hast it by thee. It's talking about good. The it refers to the original good that he said, withhold not good. So say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast, when you have it, the good by thee. This withhold not is more of a physical withholding. But here in verse number 28, we see a vocal procrastination. A vocal procrastination. I love what Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1 tells us, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." A vocal procrastination. And I think sometimes the reason that we're hesitant to speak out is because we say this issue that we're talking about, whether it be abortion or whether it be some sort of other issue, this issue has been a long-running, long-standing issue. There's not really anything I can do about it today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe some weeks from now, maybe some years from now, maybe somewhere down the road will have an effect. Vocal procrastination. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let me ask you this question by the chance. By the way, how many of you were alive and around when Roe v. Wade decision was made? It was 1973. How many of you were alive around at that time? All right. Been a lot of protesting since then. I'm sure there were some that happened definitely during that time. Notice what Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 11 says. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse number 11. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." What could have been done? I don't know what all was done at that time. I obviously was not living during that time. And I'm sure there were many that loudly and boldly and vocally protested the decision that was being made at that time. I'm sure that is the case. But here's the point. When it is delayed, when there is a vocal procrastination, and those who have knowledge of good and evil don't rise up immediately and pronounce a sentence, that is wrong, that is unjust, that is against God. Evil marches forward. This is the choice between go and give. Some have called it fight and flight. Notice Luke chapter 10 just for a moment, holding your finger in Proverbs chapter 3. Luke chapter 10, "Say not." I want to tell all of you that are here this morning that you have a voice in 2020. You have influence in 2020. You say, "I'm just a voice." Yes, but you are a voice. You say, "I'm just a vote." But yes, you are a vote. You have a voice. In 2020, Satan wants us to believe that what can little old us do? What really does it matter if I speak up? What does it really matter if I cast a deciding vote one way or the other? What does it really matter? Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' Now notice, verse number 28 of Proverbs chapter 3 says, 'Say not unto thy neighbor.'" Say not unto thy neighbor. Verse number 28 of Luke chapter 10 says, "And he," this lawyer, "said unto him," unto Jesus, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Jesus answering the lawyer. Verse number 29, "But he," the lawyer, "willing to justify himself." And by the way, this is the problem. We as humankind, from the very beginning, have sought to justify ourselves. "Well, God, you know, it was the woman, and it was her fault, you know, she ate of the fruit, you know," and that kind of thing. Justifying myself. "The serpent, well, you know, it was the serpent's fault." Justifying ourselves. The lawyer attempting to do that, "Who is my neighbor?" What did Jesus say? "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." And you know the rest of the story. Here comes along a priest. Here comes along a Levite. Here comes along a Samaritan, the priest and the Levite. "Who is my neighbor, Lord?" They see this one who's been beaten and robbed and left for dead. They see the plight of their neighbor, and yet they go around. Maybe another time. Maybe somebody else will check on. What could I do? This is the choice between go and give. And we give to a whole lot of other causes, don't we? With our time, with our energy, with our voice, we give to a whole lot of other causes. We're willing to be loud and proud concerning a whole lot of other things in this life, things that really mean diddly squat. Sports is back up and running again, and I'm okay with you watching it and getting excited about it and all of that. I think I maybe told you maybe on a Wednesday night or something like that, I canceled my cable here recently, and I'd been thinking about doing that for a while, and you know, cable's expensive and all those sorts of things, but I tell you what really got me, one of the reasons that we have cable or had cable in the first place was because Pastor Taylor likes sports, and y'all know this. And just with all the things that have gone on this year and all the politicization, if you will, in sports and all these different fiascos going on, and I only call it a fiasco because it's not fair. One side gets to voice their objective, their opinion about certain things, but the other side doesn't, so there's an agenda there, and they expect me to pay my money, God's money, to watch it. Well, we canceled our cable, and it hurt me there in the beginning. I'm a big basketball fan. I was a big NBA fan. I was a big San Antonio Spurs fan. I've not watched 1 minute of it this year. Not 1 minute. You can do what you will, and we voice, and we get loud and proud and excited and wear colors and all these different sorts of things. But what about this issue right here? Have we gotten loud and proud about it? Have we let our voices be heard? Would we wear a shirt that has, say, abortion and has a circle around it with a cross in it? Would we do that? God help us. This is the choice between go and give. Either go on your way or find out a way that you can give to this worthy cause. This is not only a choice between go and give, this is a chance to be honest. This is a chance to be honest. I like what verse number 28 implies. Proverbs chapter 3. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give. Now notice this. When thou hast it by thee. This is not a person who does not have the good. This is not a person who is saying, I'm sorry, friend, I just really don't have it today, but maybe I will have it tomorrow. No, this is somebody who has the good beside them. They have the wherewithal to be able to help, but they tell the neighbor for one reason or another, oh, I just can't do anything. We need to begin to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. Let me say this. We talk about the silent majority, and we say, where is the silent majority? Maybe we ought to be asking a different question, not where is the silent majority, but why is the silent majority? Why? Why are we silent about things that God is very vocal about? Why are we so afraid to talk about religion and politics when really those are the ways that we govern our affairs in the world, but we're afraid to talk about it? It's a chance to be honest. Honest with God, honest with ourselves, honest to our fellow man. You say they'll get upset, they'll be offended. Hey, it's time we were honest with one another. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give when I hast it by thee. Withhold not, this is a physical withholding. We might say there's not a whole lot physically that I can do. I'm not a part of the actual process going on there. Physically, I'm not able. Vocal procrastination. Say not. Could I lend my voice? Could I lend my vote? Could I lend my money to a cause such as this one? There are some really good organizations that are out here that are literally defying and opposing Planned Parenthood. Thank the Lord. And what I noticed, there's some other things that I've seen and things that I've read that have kind of let me in on this, and you probably know this as well, but you go into Planned Parenthood, and maybe you've been there before, and maybe you've actually seen this with your own eyes before, but they don't want that mother to be able to see that life. Matter of fact, I was reading somewhere, watching somewhere, where they kind of put the mother out a little bit, allow her to go to sleep, that sort of thing, while the sonogram is going on. Because they don't want to take a chance. Abby Johnson mentioned this. By the way, she was involved in Planned Parenthood for 8 years, ran one. They don't want to take a chance for the mother to wake up or get up during the procedure and see that baby, what they've falsely called a glob of flesh. But there are organizations that oppose and go against and buy these machines, and we could give our money to organizations such as this and get involved in the fight against what God calls murder. Withhold not, say not. But finally, verse number 29, Proverbs chapter 3, says it like this. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Now this, if you really consider this verse, and it's very, very interesting, it basically is saying your neighbor is going to have to live by you, and so you're going to have some issues, some fighting potentially between you and your neighbor if you're devising evil against your neighbor. There's going to begin a battle, a war of sorts, if you're devising evil against your neighbor, because he dwells securely by thee. He's very close to you. The first one is a physical withholding. The second one is a vocal procrastination. This third one is a mental plan or promotion of evil. A mental plan or promotion of evil. Number one, we see the word devise. It means to scratch, or engrave, or plow. Now let me give you a real life example of this. Go to Daniel chapter 6 for just a moment. Daniel chapter 6. To scratch, engrave, or plow. It seems like a long time ago, thousands of years ago, there were some tablets that had something engraved on them early on. Anybody remember about that? Devise not. What is this talking about? Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now think about that for a moment. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse number 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, notice, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They had to come up, they had to devise, they had to plow up a plan. And notice this plan had to do with law, the law of God. They had to literally engrave a new law to oppose the law of God, because they knew that was the only way that they could potentially move Daniel out of the way. What happened in 1973? What has happened in our country? What has happened in our world? There have been laws written by men in high places. We watched a little bit about Adolf Hitler and what happened with the Jews and the atrocity that was there. You understand that was legal. There was a law written down by man devising a plan for evil against our neighbor. The Bible says that those men could find no error or fault in Daniel. Could I just ask you a question this morning? What error or fault could we find in the most innocent human life that resides in the womb of his mother? What error or fault could we find? Then we see the secure dwelling. I think you understand where I would go with this. There is no place that ought to be more secure than the womb of a mother for a little child. But I want you to think about this occasion in 1 Kings chapter 21. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. Think about this now. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Naboth has this vineyard. It is rightfully his. Ahab, the king's, got everything that he could ever wish for, being the king, filthy rich. And yet he wants this vineyard. And so you know the story of what happens. He kind of comes up with a plan of his own. Ahab, he's actually halfway trying to be fair with Naboth. Naboth, I tell you what, I love that vineyard. It's close to my palace. I want it. I'll give you another vineyard for it or another field, or I'll even give you the value of your vineyard in money if you would like. Naboth said, no, this is mine. It's due me. I deserve it. It's an inheritance. This was legally passed down to me. And Ahab goes home and mopes on his bed, and his old wicked wife Jezebel, by the way, I just think this in our nation today, we are allowing some wicked women to be in power and to move the needle in some areas. Could I ask you who it was, by the way? Do you remember who it was that started Planned Parenthood supposedly in the first place? Lady by the name of Margaret Sanger? Another Jezebel in time gone by. You say, Pastor Taylor, that's offensive. Folks, read about Margaret Sanger and her truly racist attitude. Old Jezebel gets involved, and she's smarter than Ahab. Oh, Ahab, that's not so hard. We can get around this. We'll just come up with a plan. We'll put some witnesses in place that'll say that Naboth has gone against the law. And we'll make it so that we'll have a trial. And you can have your vineyard. Folks might have gone along with the king and the queen at that time, but God did not go along. God did not go along with the stealing, the theft of that secure dwelling. And may I say this? We've allowed a lot of people in high places, political places, places of leadership, to steal from our families, to steal from our communities, to steal from our societies. I heard a lady by the name of Candace Owens say here recently that the black population just in the United States of America, you say, why are you pointing out the black population? Because they've been way overrepresented in this matter of abortion. 18 million and counting. She said based on those numbers, the black population in the United States of America would be double today if it wasn't for abortion. Double. You don't think somebody has a plan? By the way, just drive around and look to see where Planned Parenthoods are. See where they put these godless places, what neighborhoods they put them in, and you might begin to figure some of these things out. A mental plan or promotion of evil. And what we as Christians, believers, good people oftentimes will do is say, well, there's nothing I can do. It's law. It's law. What can I do? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not. Devise not. Notice two passages and we'll be done. First, Psalm 82. Look at Psalm 82, please. Folks, we got to get busy. Busy first and foremost as the children of the Lord. Realizing that God has called each and every one of us who are believers to be witnesses to Him. Witnesses to who God is. Witnesses to His morality and His person. Who God is. We are witnesses because we've been shown in our lives who He is. Psalm number 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. That's not just talking about false gods, but that's actually talking about human beings that are in places of influence or leadership. And the Bible says that God stands in the midst of that congregation and He judges among those leaders. You might get away with it in this life, but But you're going to have to stand before God someday. Verse number 2, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Now notice this, defend the poor and fatherless. I can't think of any more poor and fatherless so often than these cases of these children. Fathers have gone off somewhere in so many cases. Fathers who've said, I don't want any part of that, and have either even promoted and pushed that lady to go kill the seed of her womb. Defend the poor and fatherless. Now notice this. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Can you think of anybody more afflicted and needy than that child? The Bible says, do justice, do good to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. If we're honest with ourselves, we can see that this has already occurred. God has already began to judge America. You can look around at the calamities and the natural disasters and the attacks that we've had, and you can quickly come to terms with the fact, oh yeah, God is judging our nation. Consider for a moment one of the oldest stories in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Consider what happened in their bringing of their offerings to the Lord. Consider that God rejected Cain's and accepted Abel's. Consider the fact that when God and Cain began to talk about this situation, Cain really did the exact same thing concerning Abel that so many of us have done concerning these little children. He withheld not good. The Bible says something interesting in the book of Genesis chapter 4. The Bible says that Abel's desire would be to Cain. Now when you study that out, what I really believe God is saying, Abel simply wanted to be a brother to you, Cain. Abel simply wanted to have that relationship that he's supposed to have, that brotherly, loving relationship that he's supposed to have with you, Cain. But Cain withheld that good, didn't he? Because of pride and envy. Say not, I don't have it by me today, but maybe tomorrow I'll have it when you know you have it. The Bible says that there was a span of time that passed between these offerings being offered and God rejecting the one and accepting the other. The Bible says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass. There was a process of time. There was this procrastination that had taken place in the mind of Cain. He knew right from wrong. God specifically told him, you can make this situation right. I will receive an offering, but it's got to be the right one. Cain procrastinated. And the Bible says it came to pass. Cain, I don't know how long it took him, but he devised a plan. Abel and I will be out by ourselves. Nobody else maybe will know. It may be covered by law. Devised a plan. And what did God say? The voice of the blood of thy brother calls out from the ground. You see, this morning, abortion is wrong, not only from a biblical law perspective, but it's wrong from a historical law perspective. Some would say, but Pastor Taylor, it's not specifically mentioned in the founding documents or any of the amendments. It's not specifically mentioned. Now, I've read a lot of literature about this and actually could argue with that, but here's what I would respond to that. Those folks assumed. They assumed that was a person in the womb. They did not foresee a day where we would say falsely and crazily in our minds, that's not an individual. Life. The right to life. It's not even right by American law. You can read about Justice Hugo Black, the fifth longest serving justice on the Supreme Court. Not even really a conservative justice. He says this, the history of the 14th Amendment, by the way, the 14th Amendment, we would use it to talk about slavery and eliminating slavery and all of that. But when you really think about it, and this is what Justice Hugo Black, FDR was the one that nominated him, this is what he says. The history of the amendment proves that the people were told that its purpose was to protect weak and helpless human beings. He clearly had in mind slaves. But is there a class of people that are more weak and helpless than slaves? Oh, yes. These helpless, powerless children. And God tells us very clearly we're not to withhold good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of our hand to do it. You say, I have no power. You better check again. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and I'll give it when I have it, when you have it by you. We have an opportunity in the United States of America to be involved in the political process, folks. Do you understand we have a gift in our country? It's not like that everywhere. Don't vocally procrastinate. Don't put this off. Put this at the top, at the primary of the list of things that you're thinking about when it comes time to vote this year. Who's for life of the unborn? Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing that he dwelleth securely by thee. He said in the video this morning, 53 million children that have been killed in the womb. But really now we're approaching 60 million. That video was done a few years ago. And we have responsibility, folks. Those of us that are sitting in this room, we like to detach ourselves from it. But when we look at the Word of God and the principles that they establish, by the way, I told you we would come back to that word, mashal, that we mentioned there, the word for proverb. There's a very, very similar word. It's spelled exactly the same. One of the letters is slightly different. That word mashal, you can look at it in Genesis chapter 4. He says, Abel's desire will be to you, but you will rule over him, Cain. That rule there is that word mashal spelled slightly different. It means to dominate. You say, what are you saying this morning to close out the message, Pastor Taylor? You remember we talked about that word at the very beginning. It's a superior way to be able to think. When we really think in a superior way above that which is common, we will save the life of our neighbor. We will advocate the life of our neighbor. We will not kill. When we don't, and we fall even shortly below that, guess what we'll do? We'll figure out a way to take from our neighbor. That's exactly what Cain did with Abel. And that's exactly what many of us have allowed. We've allowed it. Maybe there's somebody here who would say, Pastor Taylor, I don't get involved in politics. I don't get involved in voting and all that stuff. You better check the principles of the Word of God. God holds us accountable when we have knowledge and when we have power, and we have both, thank God for now, in our country. We better get busy for the Lord. Let's bow our heads together and close our eyes. A proverb for the powerless. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, every single one of us could be just a short blip of history if our mothers and our fathers decided that they wouldn't move on with our life. So I'm thankful for your grace and your mercy, and Lord, that our parents allowed us to come forth. And Lord, this life is surely not easy at times, but it's due to us because you gave it. And you're the only one that's supposed to be able to take it away. Your authority, your reason, not ours. And I pray that we would pay heed to this proverb this morning, I pray that we would become superior thinkers. Not in the way that our society calls it. They think they're so brilliant, more brilliant than God. But might we think in a superior way because we know the superior one. And may this proverb for the powerless be lived out in each and every one of our lives. I pray that we would get busy telling people the truth about God, the truth about your righteousness and your holiness and your justice. Lord, the truth about your mercy and your grace and how you sent someone to take our place. His name is Jesus. Lord, that people might begin to see the matters of the day the way that you would have us see them. Help us as a church, as Christians, with the freedom and the liberty that you've given us, that we might be responsible with it. Do individually what you'd have us to do. Help us to realize we have power. We have a way to act. Help us to be obedient in that regard. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost this morning, help them to realize their state even now during this invitation time. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask a couple of questions. Number one, do you know the Lord Jesus personally? Do you know if you were to die today that this would be your final day here on earth? Do you know where your soul would be? Would you be with the Lord? Do you know that for sure? If you don't know that, I'd like to pray for you this morning. I'd like to take time during the invitation to let somebody show you from the Word of God what you must know, and you can get it settled today. You can have eternal life with the Lord. Maybe you're here today, you'd say, Pastor Taylor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I were to die today that heaven would be my home. I don't know that I know Jesus Christ personally as my Savior, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Nobody else looking around. But if you lift your hand and put it up right back down, I'd just like to pray for you. Is there one like that? Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that, but I'm concerned about it today. I don't see any hands on that one. Let me ask you this question. Christian, have you stopped to think about this issue in this manner? Maybe you'd say, Pastor Taylor, the Lord has certainly spoken to my heart today. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord regarding this issue. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Hands up all over. Let's pray together. We'll have a time of invitation. Heavenly Father, bless now this time of invitation. Break our hearts for sin and evil and wickedness. For your righteousness and holiness and your justice. Help us, Lord, to truly be submissive to you, to do what you've called us to do, to be a light in the world. Bless us during this invitation time. Speak to our hearts. If there is somebody who does not know you as their Savior, help them be willing to come this morning. Let somebody show them from the Word of God what they need to know that they might have eternal life. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you?